Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the Evil Empire Sports Podcast. I'm your host, Rob Macarello, on this October 24th, 2022, for a special episode that we are going to call the eulogy for the New York Yankees 2022 baseball season. Eliminated last night in what I would like to say is heartbreaking fashion by the Houston Astros, a sweep no less, 4-0, knocked out of the American League Championship Series. And it was headed to this collision course with Houston since essentially May, when this Yankee team showed that they can play perhaps better than anyone expected, given their relatively lackluster offseason. And now, nothing to show for it. A team that at one point was on pace for 120 wins this season. A team that had a stretch in August where they nearly lost twice as many games as they won. So the highest of highs and lowest of lows. Getting a little bit of reinforcements through the trade deadline. Players like Efros in the bullpen, Benintendi in the outfield. Guys that were contributing to the team. Certain moves that looked like they were flops, the acquisition of Harrison Bader, him not being able to play for essentially most of the regular season, while Jordan Montgomery looked like a great player, in fact, pitching better than he had at any point during his Yankee stint with the St. Louis Cardinals. The Yankees go into the playoffs playing a little bit better, but not at their best, so we don't know what to expect as fans. Other than the fact that they were able to win the division, finish as the second best team in the American League, and avoid the dreaded wild card round. Well, perhaps it would have been better for them to be in the wild card round, because if you look across to the National League, the Philadelphia Phillies will represent the National League as the World Series representative, and they had to play in through the wild card round. What a magical run for them. A team that actually had fired Joe Girardi earlier this season, and coach Rob Thompson, who also was one of the Yankee coaches when Girardi was here, part of his staff, is leading this team to potentially a title. How crazy is that? But the New York Yankees instead had to play one of the youngest lineups in all of baseball, the Cleveland Indians, who no one expected to do as well as they did. But never underestimate Terry Francona, their all-world manager. When he's healthy, not in the hospital, and he's on the bench, he's always leading a winning ball club. And one that pushed the Yankee to not have to win only one, but two elimination games in order to advance. That should have been a sign, if you hadn't been paying attention to this team at all this year, that maybe something was up. Or not that something was up, but that this team was not as invulnerable as the New York Yankees logo and pinstripes would have you believe for a franchise that seemingly is always in the playoffs and is in contention to win a championship. Nevertheless, they advance, and now they have to play the Houston Astros. And the Yankees only serve to spend the first three games of this series turning in one of the least inspired, most lackluster, boneheaded, simple performances that you will see any team in any sport that had anyone talking about championship aspirations put on a television screen. Maybe the only group of folks that you would remove from that criticism could be the pitching staff. Even that, if you had to nitpick, you can find some fault with Gerrit Cole. He's the ace. He's supposed to completely shut people down, especially in his second performance in the championship series. He did not have a particularly inspiring game. Nestor Cortez, if you could fault him for being injured, it's tough to do that. Only because we knew he would throw this season more innings than he had easily in his career, came off an injury to his left groin, comes back, looks like he's playing okay, and he gets knocked out early in game four. After saying, hey, I'm fine, no worries, stays out there and serves up a game-tying three-run home run. I guess you're not fine. But let's put all that aside. Because if the Yankees pitching staff, starters, and relievers alike. Throw three or even four consecutive perfect games. The Yankees were not going to win those games because they could not hit. And if you've listened from episode one all the way up to now at the end of the season, I had said that this team, even during their hottest streaks, was built to hit home runs. And if the team didn't hit home runs and did not take their walks if pitchers didn't want to challenge them, that not only were they going to lose, but they were going to lose ugly. My exact words. And I cited the time that earlier this season, after Judge hit a walk-off home run against the Astros, when they then proceeded to lose three games in a row to them and be put back in their place, one of those games, in fact, maybe the very next game, the Yankees were struck by a combined no-hitter from the Astros pitching staff. And I said, this team right now, especially if Stanton is hurt, especially if DJ LeMahieu is hurt, and at the time, Andrew Benintendi wasn't in the picture, Harrison Bader wasn't in the picture, Anthony Rizzo wasn't in the picture, he was hurt too. The team was Aaron Judge and eight guys who don't frighten you in a lineup anywhere. Anywhere. All credit to Jose Trevino for his defense, being an all-star player earlier in the year. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa having to deal with all of the criticism, at times unfair and at other times completely spot on. Gleyber Torres, you want to talk about having the highest of highs and the lowest of lows in 2022. And then whether it's Marwin Gonzalez or Aaron Hicks, Josh Donaldson, absolutely. These guys sucked. Horrible on offense. They cannot hit, period. And I understand that the Dodgers were knocked out early in the playoffs, and the Braves were knocked out in the playoffs, and the Padres were knocked out in these playoffs, and they are teams that had really good offenses on paper, still had to play the games. And even though the Yankees didn't have that great of a lineup going all the way back to April, they had to play the games. Nothing was written or at least predetermined based on who you penciled into that lineup card. You had to see what happened between the lines. And the Yankees earned an opportunity to be in the playoffs by winning their division, an American League East that, with the exception of Boston for half the season, was maybe the toughest it's been in a long time. Nevertheless, when the Yankees got there, they delivered to us as fans and to themselves exactly what we expected. And perhaps, if we can dare to criticize Aaron Judge, even less. Even less. So, I don't think anyone last night was surprised at the outcome. I think what was most surprising to me as an observer of this team was that they put up a fight. Because they had been so listless in the earlier games. Three hits here, six hits here. I mean, through the playoff series, it was the first time in the history of this franchise that they had gone, was it six or eight games, with six or fewer hits? That's pathetic. That's pathetic performance. And plenty of fans online mentioning, well, we should be so lucky because if you wanted to go and talk to the Kansas City Royals, the Baltimore Orioles, the Pittsburgh Pirates, and so many other teams, could we deliver you a player that would hit 62 home runs in the regular season and win 99 games and win the division? Wouldn't you sign up for that? Absolutely, I would. And I would sign up for that as a Yankee fan. That's what happened. I was really glad about it. It's one of the things I said when they won the division, and I said, forget about the criticisms, clean sheet in the tournament, and now anything could happen, but you've got to deliver. And it's another reason why I didn't want to necessarily hop on and do these gut reaction podcasts, because game by game, you literally have to play it inning by inning, or even pitch by pitch, as Ron Darling said last night on TBS. Ron Darling, one of the best. It's why Aaron Judge getting one hit in the American League Championship Series is completely, completely a failure on his part in these playoffs. And if we start with him, I had said for a number of episodes, and if you've ever read anything I've written or heard me talk about this Yankee team, I've mentioned it for players like, let's say, Alex Rodriguez. Oh, he's not clutch. What a bum. And so many fans criticized him, yet they didn't understand if he wasn't on the team wouldn't even get to the playoffs. So while I can acknowledge that, and I have to mention that, to say that this team was essentially carried by Aaron Judge during its worst months, and he's the only offensive player that was consistent for the entire season, full stop there, it showed us for 6 months that if Aaron Judge didn't hit, this team wouldn't do anything. That's stated in the microcosm of these four games against the Houston Astros in the ALCS. What did Judge do? Nothing. How many games did the Yankees win? None. The Yankees struck out 50 times in the four games of this ALCS. If there's 27 outs in a game, and let's make sure I do this math correctly, two games worth of outs. There's 54 of them. So the Yankees almost delivered two full games of strikeouts, of perfect games in the laps of the Houston Astros. Now, I get it. I've said this numerous times. When you make the playoffs, you will naturally be facing better teams, better pitching staffs, starters and relievers among them. So are the Yankees going to be hitting 11, runs or 13 hit marks per game against these teams? Likely not. You don't normally have those big offensive outbursts in the playoffs, but you've got to rely on a couple of timely hits, maybe a couple of walks, and capitalize on mistake pitches. How many opportunities, if you've watched these games, did the pitchers for Houston, and even Cleveland for that matter, challenge Giancarlo Stanton? They challenge Josh Donaldson every at bat. He keeps thinking he's going to get a curveball in the dirt, and he watches meat right down the middle. The Yankees got pitches to hit. Justin Verlander, one of those guys who once he settles in, he is the archetype of the pitcher that takes maybe an inning to get settled, but once they do, that's it. And meatballs that weren't even fouled back. You think Giancarlo Stanton maybe had a couple. Go back to my A-Rod example. When he was on the way out, pitches right down the middle that he used to tattoo were getting fouled back. He just couldn't square it up. These Yankee batters didn't even make contact. They couldn't even foul pitches off. 50 strikeouts. You can't win a series where you have to win four games when two of them you can essentially say were made up of strikeouts completely. Those are your outs. Unless anything that wasn't a strikeout was a home run. You just can't win. That is crazy. That is crazy levels of ineptitude. It's like they picked a team that had no business finishing fourth in their own division and dropped them into the ALCS. And the criticisms from other folks that say, well, this is Aaron Boone's fault. Don't get me wrong. He pushed a number of different buttons during this series, especially in the last two games, that were complete head scratchers. The sudden obsession with Lou Trevino being brought in when it's a tie game or with runners on base because he's somebody that's going to nullify and neutralize inherited runners. He hasn't been that guy all year. That's why the Yankees were able to get him relatively easily. He didn't deserve one meaningful inning this entire year. Certainly in the playoffs. But, and this is a big but, Aaron Boone had to make those moves because Scott Efros wasn't available. Chad Green hasn't been available all year. Michael King wasn't available. Aroldis Chapman was banished from the team and probably wouldn't even have made the roster. And there were enough injuries and question marks that clearly the Yankees didn't have their full complement of players on either side of the ball to use. Would I have the opportunity to make the same critical remarks about Josh Donaldson if DJ LeMahieu was healthy and he was playing third base? or he was playing second and God forbid Glaber played short and IKF went over to third base. These were the questions that we were asking about headed into the playoffs. The Yankees have depth. Benintendi looked like he was a good player for the Yankees, a leadoff guy, lefty bat, could run the bases, contact guy, great to put in front of Aaron Judge. Will he be back in time? Matt Carpenter, lefty guy, tons of power. Can he come back? Is he going to be a DH? Does that mean that you could put Stanton in the outfield? You don't have to rely on, you know, Oswaldo Cabrera or one of those guys to give you meaningful at-bats and as a rookie in the playoffs. Slicing and dicing it lots of different ways, like a medley. You didn't know what sort of soup they were going to cook up, but there were exciting ingredients. There were exciting pieces, and you didn't have to rely on, you know, one key thing as the hub that held it all together. Otherwise, the whole enterprise would collapse. But then Benintendi didn't come back healthy. Carpenter grounding out late in the game last night. It's clear he couldn't even run to first base. He's not healthy. DJ LeMahieu, he's got a bad toe, so bad he couldn't even swing a bat and hit it out of the infield. To me, the toe bone is not connected to the swing bone, and as the song goes, but I'm no doctor. You didn't have those guys. All teams this late in the series or this late in the season that are in the playoffs have injuries. No one is perfect health. So how do you overcome it? Number one, resiliency. The way you play the game, the way you coach people up. Depth in the organization. That's a good segue to how is this roster constructed? Did you throw darts at the board? Did you have to hope that all these DFA'd reclamation projects like Jose Trevino become all-star catchers or Clay Holmes become all-star closers? Which they did in the first half of this year. But for Brian Cashman and this Yankees front office, what they did was they took the YOLO bet and it hit. They went and put all the chips on 17 playing roulette, and their number hit, and it hit a few times. And they used that as proof to say, here we go again, the brain trust that's smarter than everybody else is proven true. And what happened when the team started to play to the back of their baseball card, and they started to slip a little bit? Did we move IKF to third base and say, he won a gold glove there. He's not a shortstop. In fact, his next best position is probably catcher. Maybe we give Josh Donaldson a little bit more time off. Maybe we give him fewer important at-bats. Maybe he's breaking down because he's old. Maybe he sucked and Minnesota didn't even want him. And he was a salary dump to the Yankees. No, we doubled down. We trade for Harrison Bader, who the ALCS, his fantastic performance, only serves to stroke the ego of Brian Cashman even more because he was not available at all due to injury to help the Yankees lock up their division win or to perhaps surpass the Houston Astros for the best record in the American League. So that was a very risky gamble yet again that looked good because he was the only guy that hit in this postseason series, certainly against the Astros. But again, the glaring holes that the Yankees had headed into the year for 6 or 8 weeks when they played above them or won in spite of them, the Yankees didn't use that as a cushion to less urgently, but still importantly, correct those problems. They had a house in a floodplain in the path of a hurricane, and their basement didn't get flooded, and they kept all their valuable electronics down there. They didn't fill a sandbag. They didn't wrap anything up in plastic. They didn't even get out of harm's way. And they had a sophisticated enough radar to know that Hurricane Houston Astros was headed their way. And what did they do? They sat on their front lawn, and when it came and blew their house down, we're looking at what we're looking at now. Another ALCS elimination by the Houston Astros, the only team in baseball history to reach 5 ALCSs, or League Championship Series for that matter, and not make it to the World Series. And Aaron Judge is not under contract, and Anthony Rizzo has a player option, Severino has a team option. All these question marks that if you look at the team right now, they are weaker than they were even this season. And I don't want to hear from all the other jackasses on Twitter, well, all the folks that want to disparage the analytics should realize that the teams that are built to hit home runs have to accept a reasonable risk of strikeouts because it's more likely that you will hit a home run and score than hit three singles. I get that. I understand math. This is baseball. This is not calculus. This is not advanced macroeconomic theories. It's not nuclear or rocket science. It's fucking baseball. I get it. All of these teams that are constructed in the all or nothing approach that do not have balance, that do not know how to change their approach for game situations, get the result of what the Yankees have delivered for 22 out of the last, 23 seasons. And that is not a championship. Not making the playoffs or being eliminated from the playoffs by better balanced teams. I love a team that hits a lot of home runs. The Yankees hit the most this year. It's fucking beautiful. Everybody loves it. Trot around the bases. Woohoo! What are you doing when you don't hit a home run? What are you doing when there's a runner on third base and there's nobody out and you have two strikes and there's a shift against you? Do you even know how to swing to put the ball in play? Or are you Josh Donaldson, whose head moves from the back to the front of the batter's box when he swings? Are you Gleyber Torres, who's down on his back knee up in the air when he swings? Are you Anthony Rizzo, who, I get it, hit 30 home runs, but has got 60 to 100 points less on his batting average because now he's got to start the bat a little bit quicker, he's got to dip the bat shoulder, and he's got to swing for the fences? Guys cannot drive in runs. Josh Donaldson hasn't hit a home run since September 17th.
Oh, he had a couple of hits. Yeah, you love batting average. And he
drove in zero runs. Zero! You're getting paid $25 million to play third base in the American League. George Brett, where have you gone? Alex Rodriguez, where have you gone? Fucking Cal Ripken, where have you gone? He's a bum. He's a bum. And again, tongue-in-cheek said by me earlier this season on this podcast, because of the whole Evil Empire, the Star Wars tie-in, I'm a fan of Star Wars and a bit of a nerd, admittedly, that you can't manage this for friendships. You can't manage it to look good for yourself. The results are judged by wins and losses, and having more than your opponent or anybody in front of you at the end of the season to hoist the trophy. That's it. That's it. And did we move Josh Donaldson off of third base and move IKF to third base and bring up Peraza, and not just bring him up before the September call-ups when he was flying through the lower levels of the minor leagues? And even if he hadn't quite earned it from his performance, anyone who could be blocking him was doing it with paper-thin walls. They did nothing to hold those spots. The effusive praise I have to hear for Cleveland, who had a shit team and started bringing up young guys and giving them a chance. Man, what a bold strategy. What? They had a fridge full of rotting food. They went out and got more stuff that wasn't going to kill them and make them sick. And they're rewarded for it. Who wouldn't be? And I have to try to shoehorn these players into positions they're not used to? I have to have Aaron Hicks get rolled out again and again and again and again and hit below 200 because we want to back him in the hopes that he can have some miracle run late in the season or in the postseason for a pennant run, and his feelings aren't hurt for a stretch run? Fuck that. That is the thing that makes me the most upset. The most upset. I glossed over the pitching. I went in on a couple of players. Kind of even went past Boone. Right to Cashman. Right to the guys that build this lineup. They have put the precedent out there that they will make excuses. They will snivel and they will bicker with reporters who ask questions about, why didn't you do it this way? What about this player? What about that deal? And instead of accepting nothing less than their best, there's been a weakening of the whole World Series or bust, championship or bust mantra. Now, look, another thing I've said on this podcast a few times, it's not realistic to win a championship every year, even with the best team on paper, even with the most healthy lineup. Baseball, it's a day-to-day, pitcher-to-pitcher, pitch-by-pitch game. It's what makes it so fun. It's what makes it so maddening. But you can't make excuses about why certain teams are able to win. The Astros, remember back in 17, that whole, you know, we should have been the American League representatives in the World Series. That was 6 years ago. That's something that I say as someone who has a podcast. If I run the organization, I say, I don't care if they were playing with cork bats and they were juicing in the batter's box. We need to fucking do our jobs and we need to win. And then if you lose, you still don't bow to the other team. You still have to stand up for your players and your process and say, we've got to get to work and get better. You don't make it about the other team. You don't make it about the wind and the roof and, oh, that ball, the exit philo, it should have been a home run. You can't make it about that. And as soon as the front office and the coaching staff does that, they're accepting mediocrity. You are saying that failure is okay because there's a reason for it, or beyond a reason, that you will accept a justification for it. And that's not to say that the fans need to be giving IKF hell as he drives away from Yankee Stadium, blocking his car and cursing him out and going after his dad on social media and crazy shit like that. Not at all. But there is a way to demand excellence from the team in the way you talk about it, in the way that you promote it, in the way that you don't back and stand for and accept beyond mediocrity, a lack of hustle. Picking fights with people on the other team. Go back to that White Sox series with Tim Anderson and Josh Donaldson, calling him Little Jackie. That's the type, get off my team. Racially charged comments about an all-star silver slugger who happens to be black too? Get the fuck off my team. Aroldis Chapman beating up his girlfriend. Well, we gave him $20 million. That was stupid anyway. You give closers, you give relievers multi-million dollar deals, you're one failed pitcher away from your next best closer. It's that simple. Domingo Herman, we have to worry about when is he going to come back? He's healthy and, oh, he's going to squeeze out Severino. He deserves it. Severino gets buried on the 60-day IL. Oh, maybe we'll keep him fresh. Blah, blah, blah. Get off my team. What do we stand for? To go back to the episode prior when we talked about Aaron Judge's historic home run chase and 62 and his Bonds the record holder or, you know, steroids, we understand that athletes won't be heroes. Some of these guys have incredible charitable efforts. They're men about town. They take care of the kids. They sign autographs. They take pictures. I get it. Not everybody's going to be a Boy Scout. But the Yankees grow a backbone after all of their pitchers are hurt and Aroldis Chapman skips some session that they still haven't come out and said precisely what happened, but sent him back down to Florida and he's going to stay there. I mean, I'm not enamored with the guy. I just said get off my team because of the character issues. Who else is going to close? You play three shortstops in four games of the ALCS? Now you want to find a shortstop? Now we're going to let Peraza get in there? Go get him, kid. He sat on the bench for a fucking month. Carpenter, oh, not well enough to play in the DS and the whole foot thing and his timing is off. They put him in there. He struck out seven times in seven at-bats. He could deliver nothing. And I already thought someone that hits 14 home runs in their first 37 games, when they've basically been dropped and are out of baseball, they're 2 minutes from going and flipping burgers at Five Guys, come back, oh, he's retooled his swing. He's swinging for the fences in Yankee Stadium. YOLO bets again. For the older folks out there, YOLO, you only live once. If you're into any of the Wall Street bet stuff, or YOLO bet is basically, we don't think, we don't care, we don't do any research, all in. And when it hits, you kind of giggle and grin, and it's like, look what I just did. It's dumb luck. And I said, if he's healthy enough to play, or the coaching staff thinks that they're good enough to be in the game, then they've got to deliver. And he couldn't. So at that point, injury is an excuse. It's not. But you're going to throw him out there? I mean, there were no better options. We're scrambling. We're changing the lineups every day, trying to win a pennant. Now, IKF, we're going to bench him. The defensive performances, we need to make sure that we're buttoned up. Let's rewind back to my episode, True Lies. Aaron Boone can't even follow up with his own bullshit. IKF is one of the best defensive shortstops in the American League. Why would I move him off a shortstop? Because he's got 15 fucking errors. And then after you bench him for playing shit defense, and by the way, not being able to hit the ball anywhere, now you're going to put him back at shortstop. And on a really simple ground ball to second base, granted, with Pena, who's very quick running down that first baseline for Houston, Gleyber tosses it. And is IKF waiting at the back of the bag? Or is he running with a route to be able to catch the ball? He's sprinting like he's an idiot going to play right field and runs right across the second base bag and can't put a hand on the ball. There goes the tie game. There goes that game. There goes the ALCS. There goes the Yankee season. The Yankees wanted to be halfway. They prove their point when it's convenient to them, when they want to show everybody that they're smarter than everybody else. They want to hold players accountable after months of them sabotaging the outcome of games and the momentum of the team and the message that you're going to deliver for what are we going to support for the good players and what are we not going to tolerate for performances and effort for others. Aaron Hicks got benched, and then you bring him in finally as a defensive replacement because he's wasting a roster spot, and the poor guy gets hurt. Again, Peraza, you bring him up. Reward. Good behavior. Good playing. Good results. This is what we want to back. You want to play like this kid, you're going to get at-bats. They didn't play him until it's the most important bats of the season and the kid's life, and he hasn't seen live pitching in 4 weeks. How stupid. And who is that? Is that Aaron Boone? I don't think so. There's only 26 guys that he's got to pick from. So he's trying to make another analogy, right? Let's go back to it. He's trying to make this delicious soup. And half the ingredients are the same thing, lackluster or rotten. He's got a nice big fat fucking chicken in Aaron Judge, and that's it. What else is he going to do? This is on Brian Cashman. Yes, the team won 99 games, and I'm not going to root for them to win 60 so that he could get fired and that, you know, I'm not rooting for people to stop going to games like it's going to stop anything in the ownership group and how Steinbrenner is going to sell the team. That's not going to happen, and I'm not going to root for it. You can't deny what the Yankees did. But again, another theme. All the talk. Aaron Judge, I hope he gets to 65. I hope he hits 75 home runs. Well, I don't understand. He's not qualified for the Gold Glove. He should still win a Gold Glove. And you know, Trevino better win the Gold Glove. Aaron Judge better win MVP. I don't fucking care about these guys' individual achievements. It does nothing for me. Oh, I'm going to go buy the Aaron Judge MVP shirt. Woohoo! It's going to be a San Francisco Giants shirt at this rate. We root for laundry. Johnny Damon, who went on Twitter and said it's been done before when it comes to the 3-0 comeback in the ALCS. I saw it happen in 2004. He did it for the Red Sox. 5 years later, he's winning a World Series with the Yankees. I didn't like him, but you can't hate because the team won a championship. So it doesn't matter what they did in prior locations, and it doesn't matter what personal, professional accolades they can accomplish in the regular season, because you're basically pushing and clawing and scratching and climbing and cheating and whatever you need to do just to get to the playoffs. Ask the Phillies. Does it matter that they finished third in the NL East? Do they care that the Braves were able to rocket ahead of the Mets at the last minute and the Mets lost unceremoniously in the wild card? And it was a bit. They don't care because they're already there. The MLB playoffs, in fact, any playoffs, is like getting into a bank vault and trying to rob it. And as long as you're the last person there, you get to keep all the cash. No one gets in trouble. It doesn't matter because you won. That's the expression, flags fly forever. With the Cubs, who did you have to trade away? What did you give up for prospects? Did you harpoon your chances to keep some of these guys longer term? They broke a 100-year curse. That team were the national champions. Flags fly forever. That championship will always be there. That team and Theo Epstein in the office and all those guys, they broke the curse. Indisputable. Forever. Do you know who hit the most home runs on that team? I could guess, probably Anthony Rizzo. But again, it doesn't matter. Those are details that don't matter for a franchise that won the championship. Flags fly forever. They didn't say Wrigley when the wind is blowing out is a bandbox. They didn't say that they have to play most of their games during the day because the lights still aren't good and they've got all these contractual obligations to get day game. No excuses. They just won. And all the other teams in between from 2000 and leaving out 2009 through 2022 that won world championships and are not the Yankees. No excuses. And I would tolerate this loss a lot better as a fan, understanding the context, not as an excuse, but the context of the team they had during the regular season. If it looked like the team meaningfully did two things. Number one, address their biggest weaknesses. And number two, they, with their actions, with playing time, said that poor performance is not going to be endorsed. How long are you going to stay on the sinking ship? This is not the Titanic. There's not some nobility that the captain has to go down with the thing. We're going to ride Joey Gallo through 250 strikeouts if it means we're loyal to our guy and lose every fucking game watching him not being able to put the ball in play. Or Aaron Hicks. Or IKF throwing the ball away at shortstop. You just need to win. That's the job. So if the team had been able to do that and the team put up a fight and the team showed that perhaps at bat by at bat or situationally they could adjust to try to play a brand of baseball that can be successful in doing simple yet necessary things like, oh, I don't know, scoring runs, I would feel a lot better about it. But they didn't do that. They made excuses. They did not put people in position to win or be successful for that matter. A game built on failure. A game where Aaron Judge is going to fail at his job 60 to 70% of the time. And if he's going to fail that much, what do you say about the rest of the team? That there's a new leadoff guy in front of him five games in a row when you don't want to bat him leadoff because you knew nobody was going to hit behind him and no pitcher on the other team would challenge him. When you trade for starting pitchers that are hurt. Frankie Montas, what did he contribute this season for the Yankees? Nothing. Nothing. Jerry Seinfeld. Nothing. He didn't contribute anything. He's not even playing. He's hurt. Who are these people? That, to me, is the thing that as a fan makes me the most upset. What sport, what team can you look at and say, you know what? We're getting mollywomped maybe even every game, but we fight. We're in it. We haven't maybe learned how to win yet. Maybe we're young. Maybe we're inexperienced. Maybe the team has got big-time injuries to important players and important roles. But they fight. They fight. There's energy on the sidelines. The manager's not making excuses. The young players that are knocking the door down are given the opportunity to deliver at the highest levels and see if they can contribute and do it in a way that if they don't, you don't have to be like, eh, well, that's it. His value's lost and now I can't trade him anymore. For a team like the Yankees who can't trade away their top prospects because they have to keep them because they can't play them. Huh? What logic is that? And that to me is going to be the most damning thing of this 2022 Yankee season. That when Aaron Judge burst on the scene and hits 54 home runs as a rookie, and we said this team has arrived earlier than we thought, And then they have to get rid of Joe Girardi because he's a guy that, whether he's not relating to the players because he's too tough on them, or he's not relating to the front office because he's not going to roll over and do whatever they say, or it's other players like Gary Sanchez that were homegrown that they weren't able to develop, because Aaron Judge is essentially the only homegrown developed offensive player that they've had since Derek Jeter of any ilk. And I get that we're comparing Derek Jeter and Aaron Judge, prolific talents, but there's a long, long, long time between 1995 and Jeter's pro debut at the MLB level and 2017. That is a long time. 22 years, which is coincidentally the span of time where the Yankees have won one World Series across. And rather, if you look across those years, when players were leaving the low-budget market teams, the ones who we always say, and critics of the game, and critics of the Yankees, and lovers of the underdog always say, we have a market and unfair advantage over because we're going to buy their best players. People like Manny Machado leaving the Baltimore Orioles, or Bryce Harper leaving the Washington Nationals. A player in Bryce Harper who said since he was 16 years old and on the cover of Sports Illustrated, I want to be a Yankee. Manny Machado, who wears number 13 on his jersey because he trains with A-Rod, I want to be a Yankee. Manny Machado, who just was eliminated in the NLCS, and Bryce Harper, who hits a home run to do that elimination as a member of the Phillies, combined, their salary this year is $55,384,615. Let's just round up and say for a flat 56 mil. Those two players are getting paid that number against the luxury tax this year. This year, the Yankees paid Josh Donaldson, Aaron Hicks, and Aroldis Chapman $52,466,667. Round that up to a cool $53 million. For a $3 million difference, you could have had Bryce Harper and Manny Machado and not lost the ability to pay guys like Aaron Judge his pennies this year and the prior years, or Giancarlo Stanton and his mega deal, which is still defrayed by a bit by the Florida Marlins or Miami Marlins these days, and sign guys like Gerrit Cole. That's a Brian Cashman problem. That's not an Aaron Boone problem. We can cry until the cows come home. You know, circle of trust, certain relievers. How did he manage those injuries? How did he coach guys up? What does he manage? What does he message to the press and sticking with guys and making excuse? It doesn't matter. When you have a front office that can get two of the best players of this generation who want to be Yankees and don't break the bank, and for the same amount of money, comparably, you have Aaron Hicks, who has to be benched because he's terrible, Josh Donaldson, who gets suspended because he's picking fights with the other team and couldn't slap his wife if he was Aroldis Chapman, who's the third player involved who did slap his girlfriend and was banished to Florida for not showing up to practice. Brian Cashman. It's not rocket science. When I go to mailbag at Evil Empire Sports and I see Steve from Stamford sends a note, is Aaron Boone gone? Well, they just signed him to a 3-year deal after the offseason last year. He didn't botch those signings. Is he a genius? No. And the longer I live, the longer I look across sports and I say, coaches all over the place are really not impressive. There's relatively few that you're going to look at and say, you know what, they really get it. They get it. They got the message to the players. They got the message to the fans and the media. They say the right thing. They take no shit. They make no excuses. They do it professionally. They press the right buttons, and win or lose, their teams fight. I mean, even previously unassailable guys like Mike Tomlin in the NFL, now that he doesn't have Ben Roethlisberger and the team doesn't look so hot, although they pull off a couple of big wins, even he comes under fire. What's the line in Batman? You either die a hero or live long enough to become the villain. And he's been at Pittsburgh such a long time, he looks like maybe he's the villain. If you have the horses, you're going to win the race. Do I think Phil Jackson was the world's greatest coach because he had Michael Jordan and Scottie Pippen and Tony Kukoc and Ron Harper and Dennis Rodman and Steve Kerr and on and on and on and Kobe Bryant and Ron Harper again and Shaquille O'Neal and Robert Horry and Rick Fox and all these? It's simple. The players play. The coaches get out of the way. Now, Aaron Boone or any other baseball manager, for that matter, can do more harm than good. But Aaron Boone didn't strike out 50 times out of 104 plate appearances. He didn't do that. Aaron Boone hasn't struck out since 2003. In the World Series, at least, they made it that far. I believe it was Jorge Posada hits a weak ground ball just right of the pitcher's mound, and Josh Beckett picks it up to flip him over to first base and win in six games. So poetic this year, Aaron Judge on a ball just outside feebly hits the ball to the right side, and Ryan Presley, the Astros closer, is able to go and scoop it up and flip it to first base and end the Yankee season. This time it was in the ALCS, as it's been the last five times, not in the World Series. Major difference, Jorge Posada was still on the team and won a championship 6 years later. As of today, Aaron Judge is not employed. He's not employed. But that's not going to last long. So Steve, is Aaron Boone going to be employed by the Yankees next year? I think so. But Brian Cashman doesn't have a deal. Brian Cashman pissed off the player who bet on himself and had arguably one of the best regular seasons in the history of baseball. Aaron Judge probably doesn't want to talk to Brian Cashman again unless Brian Cashman goes to him and say, "You got me," and hands him the checkbook and says, "Write your deal. We're going to put it in a contract. Thanks for your service. See you for the next 9 years." And if there's even a whiff, if Hal Steinbrenner wants to continue to sell chicken buckets and fill the seats at Yankee Stadium and be able to have enough cash revenue to pay the bondholders on this new stadium that they had to knock down the old one for, you're not going to do that if Aaron Judge walks. Because you're going to have those Lyle Overbay, Randy Wynn, Chase Headley, Vernon Wells type of disgusting lineups when you've got to roll out Josh Donaldson at $25 million again. Isaiah Kiner-Falefa, he's our stopgap. You don't win with stopgaps. You survive. The Yankees weren't just trying to survive. They weren't just trying to not embarrass themselves. At least the team I grew up with and the team I know, and frankly with their resources, the team they should be competing to win a championship. Not just to survive. Not just avoid embarrassment. The last four games of their Yankees season in 2022, the Yankees, players top to bottom, embarrassed themselves and let what was at times a downright dominant, magical, historical regular season become just as irrelevant for those other teams that have won a championship. The difference is, in 2022, someone will raise the commissioner's trophy, but it won't be the New York Yankees. That's going to do it for today's episode. Follow us on Instagram. Follow us on Facebook. We are on Twitter at E-Empire Sports, evilempiresports.com. More to come in the off season. We'll talk fantasy sports. We'll talk football. At least the Giants and Jets are respectable. Who would have thought? Absolutely incredible. As far as baseball is concerned, unless there's some major moving and shaking, which likely won't be the case until after this World Series, when they say, who are you going to root for, the Phillies or the Astros? I only root for the Yankees. So baseball is done. Until we see you in the spring, I'm Rob Macarello signing off with the Evil Empire Sports Podcast, and we'll catch you then.